Stewart. Yes! And surely that's the goal!
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sensible Sunderland. You join us after a bitterly disappointing and unbelievably dull 1-0 defeat at home to Millwall. I'm here with Anth this evening. The other boys won't be joining us as they were unfortunately sent to the abattoir by mistake and have been processed with the rest of the pigs, but we will do our best without them. Anthony, how are you? What did you think of today?
Just, again, rinse and repeat, another shambolic, boring, tediously dull 90 minutes. A game that, to me, had 0-0 written all over it, and we've still somehow managed to lose 1-0.
Yeah, what gets me, I tweeted out on the Sensible Sunderland page that Millwall were bang average, probably slightly worse than average, and they've still beaten us at home. I mean, what does that say? To me, they're already on holiday. Dodds is like more concerned about preserving his own reputation than setting out a team to go and win a game, take a few risks, etc. I mean, to be honest, I think he's probably harming himself more at this point, but whatever. I can't wait for this season to be over, Ant. I really can't.
Yeah, we literally said leaving the ground today, one more to go, and it was like that kind of that feeling of like, let's just get one more out of the way, you know, and then we're done. Then we can have like a summer off and just actually enjoy outside ears.
It feels like when you sort of, you've got a couple more shifts to go before you go on holiday.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm breaking it down into like little segments where like I've got 2 hours left to work, so that's 15 minutes, 8 times, but there's one more Sunderland game to go to, one more drive down to the ground, blah, blah, blah. Like I'm despondent about it because the football's garbage. I'm fed up with Dodds. I'm absolutely fed up with Dodds. I hate these interviews. Why does he say really all the time? It's really disappointing. It's really this, really that. Like the guy is just, honestly, he's ready salted crisps. He's so desperately dull in his football. Like his personality is similar to his football. And I'm not in a good place with him. Honestly, it's awful at the minute. Like,
to be fair, me and Lee, in last week's episode, we tried to be a bit more positive after a win, and we were saying, like, you know, as your opinion on Dodds changes after the Leeds results and the West Brom results, and, you know, Lee was saying the good thing is from the last two performances, it looks like the players haven't really downed tools. They're not on holiday. They're still fighting for the shirt. And it just looks like all of everything we said last week now is just redundant. After the day's shambles. And like I even said off air, I was talking to someone about like we were recording tonight, and I said, like, because of our inconsistency, we seem to just say totally different things on like each podcast. So yeah, it's always a case of what, like, you know, one step forward, three steps back.
We probably look to the uninitiated, we probably look like flip floppers, like, oh, the Sensible Sunderland, they'll say one thing one week, then they change, they go complete 180 the next episode. But I don't get this team. I just don't understand what's happening.
That's literally what this team's like. Like, we are literally just mirroring the inconsistency of the team. Right? It can't be helped.
No, I don't know. Should we try and look for some positives out of the game before we sort of jump into the negative?
I mean, if you can find a positive from that game, Dad,
he's mine. It was nice to see Corey Evans.
I suppose. Yeah.
But, not in a way that, like, the footballing way. It was just, like, in the same way it's nice to see your nan after a while.
Yeah,
Yes. Hiya, Corey. Hiya. Like, I don't know how much of a part he'll play for us next season, but that was one positive. Chris Rigg was the only player who looked bang up for it. It was nice to see him get some minutes. Utterly bizarre decision to then take him off, despite the fact he'll be probably one of the main men next season. I don't know. I think I'm probably scraping the barrel a little bit here. Negatives was the style of play, the team selection, Dodds's post-match interview, lack of willingness to compete in a game, being rolled over and our belly tickled by a rubbish team, to be honest. I don't know, Anth. I'm maybe it's us, maybe it's this podcast, you know, because maybe ever since we...
I've been thinking that. We were sixth when we started this podcast, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's awful, isn't it? I think one thing that we always had going for us sort of at the first half of the season was the football was good to watch at the very least. You know fine well Sunderland, they might get turned over 4-0 or whatever, but at least they'll go for it. At least they'll try. Now, it's just predictable. It's boring. It's dreadful. It reminds me of the time when Martin O'Neill was in charge, where you know exactly where the ball's going every time. Yeah. You can tell what the result's going to be after 15 minutes of play. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're so easy to set up against. Like you said, Millwall were nothing special. I mean, they were bang average. And I think we had maybe the first 10 minutes of the second half. I think we got a few corners. But then it was as if something kind of was a switch in like the Millwall players' heads, and they just thought, hang on, these are shite, these. And
yeah.
No sooner had I said that, they put the ball in there for the goal. And obviously it was going to be Duncan Watmore, wasn't it?
Naturally, you know, when that went in, part of me was like, huh, good for Watmore, not a nice lad. I think I'm just so despondent about it all. I'm desperate for the season to end. And I think, you know, we've talked about Dodds, we've talked about Speakman, we've talked about how big a summer this is, but it's dross. It's dross. Like, the way we move the ball is so slow. Ekwe boiled my piss. Every time there was a 50-50 or a slightly loose ball where he had to go in and show some metal, he pulled out of it. Like, he narks me, Pierre Ekwe. I thought he was particularly poor today.
There was only Chris Rigg actually putting his foot in. And, like, to me, that's embarrassing for the other so-called senior pros. Like, he's a 16-year-old lad.
Ben's putting his foot in.
Put his man in.
Oh, matron. like a Baines putting his foot in and starting to move the ball about a bit. And then, and I know a lot of them are kids as well, 22, 23, but like, got a lot more football under the belts than Chris Rigg, and they just get embarrassed. I mean, you look, why is he starting Bradley Dack?
And then he took him off at half time, and then he put Trigueman on. I'm thinking, why could you not have just done that from the start? If Bradley Dack hadn't taken the two corners in front of me in that first half, I would have forgot he was playing. Like, what did he actually bring to that side?
Yeah. And to me, the guy, I think he'll always be more invested than in sort of his ITV2 programmes than playing for Sunderland. Right. I think he was probably brought to Sunderland as a favourite to Tony Mowbray because Speakman wanted to keep Mowbray sort of onside a little bit. And Dak, when Mowbray got sacked, was probably sitting in a hotel room up there thinking, oh, bollocks, what have I signed for these for? Yeah. And now we're kind of, he's stuck with us and we're stuck with him. And it's a bit of a arranged marriage that nobody wants, unfortunately. Yeah.
It's a callback to, I mean, say what you want about the model, and I'm sure we probably will as the episode goes on, but like, it's a callback to what life was like before the model, just signing all these journeymen who just weren't arsed, didn't really want to be, were just picking up a wage. Yeah.
Well, and you know, what's the point of playing Bradley Dack, who's like 28, 29, whatever, when the whole point of the model is play the young ones, get the best out of the kids. So why are you playing Dack up front? Why on earth is he even on the pitch?
I think they're just throwing shit and seeing what sticks at the minute. Like, I kind of jokingly said at the end of last week's episode, like, kind of half joking, half serious, just play four strikers, just play all four of them and just see what happens. That would have at least given us something a bit better today. Just play two of them, you know, stick Roosan and him here up, just say, right, lads, now to lose, just go for it.
Yeah, and I think this is my massive bugbear with Dodds, you know, like, why would you set up with five at the back in a game that's just a damn squib? It means nothing. Millwall, there was a slight risk of relegation, but not a lot, really. So why would you let them come to the Stadium of Light, set up so defensive, you just park the bus? When there's nothing going on, you could throw some young lads in, a little bit of excitement to give them that bit of experience, because, you know, the likes of Watson, the likes of Chris Reagan obviously came off at half-time, but like, these, not half-time, slightly after half-time, but these lads were going to be building the team around. Why would you just park the bus against Millwall? Like, I don't get it. I don't know what Dodds is trying to do. I don't understand the club at the minute. I feel so despondent about it.
They just, like I say, I think they're just kind of trying to like pass time. I mean, we've all said, like, look, let's just get the season over with. I think they are literally just playing for time now. I think it's been that much of a clusterfuck the entire season. I think that they're all just scared to make a decision, and they're also, so they're just literally going for like the safest possible option. And I think, to be fair, we all did say, like, after the Leeds and West Brom games, obviously, you know, the way we were set up at the back was working. So we said, we'll stick with that. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But like, it's all well and good doing that in games against Leeds and West Brom, where you're not expected to get anything, and you're going to have your backs to the wall for a majority of the game. But like say, a team like Millwall, where they're there for the taking, fair enough. Even if you start like that, fair enough. I can understand it because it's served you well in the past two games. But to not change it when it was so obviously not working, like, again, that's what I mean. The kind of like deers in headlights at the minute, all of them, Dodds, the players, everybody.
To me, Dodds smacks of somebody who's trying to preserve his reputation. He's not necessarily bothered about enhancing it, but he wants to make sure that...
reputation? That's the thing. Like, to me, I'd be thinking, like, he hasn't built the reputation yet. He needs to be bold. Like, he can't just fucking put on his CV, oh, well, I got 6 points from West Brom. You know what I mean? Like, that's not good enough.
I think, he needs to do something more. I think Dodds must be, like, a relatively well-respected coach in the Championship who's known for, like, looking after a team of young lads, etc. Not a manager, not a first-team coach, but somebody who you can put next year in, like, he's a pretty safe pair of hands, and I think that's the type of reputation he's trying to preserve. But I would caveat that by saying he wants to preserve his reputation because I think he must be off in the summer mind. I think he's on the way, personally.
Good. Because that just signals that we're at least going to get somebody in who wants his own people, and there's going to be actual, like, definitive change within the club, which is what I'm out for.
I think Dodds and probably Proctor are too close to the team to really ruffle any feathers. Probably not big enough characters to be in charge at Sunderland. You know what I mean? Like Dodds, you know, and you can't really blame him for that because he's worked under numerous first team coaches now, and he's got to know these fellas, etc. So he's hardly going to get into them and be nasty. And they probably won't look at him as like the head coach, the manager, etc. Because it's not what they used to seeing him as, really.
Well, it's like Luke O'Nine, I think, after the Blackburn game, and he was like calling them Dodsy in his interview. And like that stuff like that, it might seem like small and insignificant, but really, you know, you don't call your gaffer Dodsy. You know what I mean? There's a respect there that has to be in place. So you don't call him fucking Dodsy.
Of course. I think, you know, if you do something wrong at work, you might get on with your manager, but you'd still be thinking, oh, I'm in for a day. I like the bloke, he likes me, but I'm going to get a rollick in here. And I don't get that vibe, to be honest. I don't think Dodds is the type. But I would be remiss if I didn't say it. I will be very happy to see the back of him and Proctor, to be honest.
Yeah. Again, though, you know, just the way the club is, just careful what you wish for, though. You know what I mean?
You're right. I think... You look around, you see the cesspit that football is at the minute, you know. Like, you see the owners who own clubs, like the likes of the Venkies or bloody, you know, just there's millions of examples out there of people who own clubs or appoint managers who are, like, very badly out the depth, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And we aren't that. But me watching Sunderland at the minute, we just look like mid-table Championship shite. You know, like what you'd watch on like a Friday night a few years ago, there'd be a Championship game on between friggin' Coventry City and Watford, and you just go, two shy teams there, you're like a bit boring this. Like that to me, that's Sunderland. There's no creativity, there's no spark, there's no grit or ruthlessness or willingness to win. Every game just looks like it's a training exercise, like it's a friendly or an exhibition or something.
Yeah. And again, we can like play devil's advocate, and we can like present the argument and say, well, you know, this is still only our second season up from League One. Like, we all would have taken this.
Yes,
we would. But I keep saying it, but it's just so disheartening to remember where we were and what we were on the cusp of this time last season. It is just like, it seems impossible for us to like mess that up. You know, everything was going in our favour. We had so much buzz, so much excitement built around us. And, like, how the hell have we let it go from that to this?
Well, we were nearly on for a double promotion, weren't we? And I'm not saying Sunderland were ready to go to the Premier League, although I'm not sure I completely buy this. Are we ready? Are we not? We'll go straight back down. You don't know what you don't know. And I think the reason we tend to not record immediately after games is because emotions are high. And at the minute, I'm pissed right off at Sunderland, at Speakman, at Dreyfus. Part of us just thinks, I wish a lot of them would just go. I don't want Dreyfus to sell up. I certainly don't want that. I am just emotional. But the likes of Speakman, I don't trust him with the transfer window coming up. I think he's earned the right to have this crack at it sort of thing. But by God, he's got to get it right, Anth.
Yeah, I want to have faith in him. And I think I've said, like, I'm still kind of not excited for the summer, but it's just that, like, it's that buzz of, like, oh, my God, like, we're literally, like, anything could happen here. There is, like, a twinge of excitement about it. But, obviously, things go disastrously wrong. But, you know, I'm still hopeful that things can pick up and we've learned from our mistakes and we actually do a good bit of business. So I still, like, generally, going forward, have a lot of faith in Speakman. I don't want to get rid of Speakman. But, like you say, it's just games and results like today, they just totally just suck the energy and enthusiasm out of you. And it does, it leads you to that kind of, that mindset of just thinking like, oh, like, I'm not bothered. Like, do what you want. I'm not bothered.
You know, I seen us described on Twitter earlier as a rich boy's vanity project. And I think about 10% of me probably agrees with that. Like, Dreyfus has bought us, you know, he's a rich lad, got plenty of money, comes from a rich family, a footballing family as well, albeit. But he wants to implement the model, wants to use young lads, da-da-da. Arsenal are the type of club that should be an experiment. Because in part, I think, you know, if you haven't got the money to properly fund us, just off you go. Like, part of us doesn't want the model, but a bigger part of us probably does, because I think that's the more sustainable route for Sunderland, in fairness. And at the moment, you know, from considering where we were and where we are now, Dreyfus has done a good job. You can't deny that. You really can't. But I do wonder sometimes, are we that vanity project? And are Sunderland too big to be used like a sort of key ring for billionaires?
No disrespect to Forest Green, but we're not like a Forest Green, are we?
Or a Wrexham.
That sort of thing. But, like, I would always just ask him the question, like, look, I'm by no means, other than the whole Black Cat Bar debacle, like, I'm in no means, like, anti-Kirilui Dreyfus. Like, I do really want him to succeed here and I want him to stay. But, like, there's times where I just think, right, but would you be happy? He's a massive Marseille fan and he always goes on about, like, you know, Sunderland and Marseille, there's a lot of similarities between them. Would you be happy if an outsider, which he is, I don't want to, like, you know, label anybody, he's from a different world to us. Mm-hmm. If someone outside the culture of Marseille came in and made some of the decisions that he's made in the last 12 months, would you be happy? And the answer's got to be no.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's one of my bugbears with him. He gets to the area. Is this that? What does Kira Lewis Dreyfus know about Monk Weymouth Colliery? Is it in Colliery? What does he know about the people who support Sunderland, really? He can't relate with us on a level, etc. And that's why the small part of us does understand when we call, like, a vanity project. I do kind of get that. Like, I mean, some people will argue that we're a little bit of a tester before he goes and takes over at Monaco in his future. Like, so it applies straight at Sunderland. I mean, that's just a conspiracy theory and it's nonsense. Don't get me wrong. But I don't fully like the guy, especially after the Black Cats Bar. And I'm not going to get downbeat on him. We can't, because he doesn't deserve that. He's done very well, like I say. And he's appointed Speakman, who, again, he's been very good in pockets. He's been disastrous in pockets. And again, we've banged the drum every bloody weekend, really. The summer is huge. And I think only maybe 20 games into next season can we really sit back and say, right, Speakman's this, Dreyfus is this, Sunderland are, you know, a bit of a damp squib, or Sunderland's heading in the right direction.
I'm very cautious about the fact, like, I agree with you, like, we do need to give him the summer and then, you know, next season. But I don't want us to be kind of too far, kind of cut adrift before we then realise, yeah, you know what, it hasn't worked. Like, the way the club is at the minute, Dan, like, I'm expecting a relegation battle next season. Unless there's, like, a big positive change in the summer, yeah. Just watching them today, I was like, there's nothing going forward. Unless there's, like, a high level of quality comes in that side. We've gotten out. I mean, obviously, Jack Clark really didn't do anything today. But again, I think he's maybe one of them who's thinking, well, you know, there's three games to go. I'm not going to put myself in danger. I'm not going to, you know, put myself at risk of injury. I'm just going to, you know, do what I need to do.
Yeah.
But I, just watching that today, I was just like, what have we actually got? And like you say, we're so just easy to play against. And like even weak teams, no disrespect at all, even weak teams can come to the stadium alight and think, well, they're not going to trouble us. All we have to do is just sit in, bide our time, and we'll pick them off.
Yeah, we are incredibly pedestrian, aren't we, in everything we do? And to me, today just smacked of a group of players who were already on the beach. Like, I know that's cliche, but it was just going through the motions, you know, slow, predictable, boring. But what narks me is, you know, you go to work 5-6 days a week so you can have a few beers with your mates on the Saturday or the Sunday or whatever, and go and enjoy the football, and then that's what you get served up. I know there's no guarantee of quality. Sunderland's going to win every week. You know, the ground will be packed out every week if that was the case. But, you know, people go to Grafton, spend the hard-earned money to go and watch Sunderland, and you're served up shite like that. Nah, it puts me right out, to be honest.
Yeah, we always, like, stopped down. At the end of the last home game of the season, we stopped down the town. And we all said on the way back to the table, we were like, should we just go out, like, all day? Yeah. Should we just not even bother going to the match? And that's how a lot of people feel. And it's sad, like, and getting on even like season ticket renewals, I know a lot of people who aren't renewing, and it's just a shame because it's like we'd built up so much goodwill and there was like genuine enthusiasm. Like I knew people who hadn't been for years who'd started coming back and were really enjoying the match again, and
and I think a lot of that is owed to Tony Mowbray, mind.
Oh, 100%. He was someone who we just got, like we got him and he got us, and again, pointless and after all, you know, old players and old managers, but like I'll die on this hill, mind, the decision to sack Tony Mowbray when we did without having a credible replacement lined up was massive damage to this club.
I think the general consensus was it was the right time for Mowbray to go. I think that relationship was reaching its natural conclusion, but like you've said there, the fact there wasn't somebody already in waiting was a huge, huge error on the part of the club.
Yeah, well, that's it. The success of that decision solely depended on who the replacement was going to be.
We might as well have appointed a wet floor sign or a pile of sick as a point Michael Beale, because it was probably one of the worst periods of watching Sunderland you could ever have asked for. Like, in what was galling about it was the fans begged the club, don't do it, don't do it. Even when he got appointed, generally speaking, we'll get behind him, now he's here. But even then, it was like, it's pointless even getting behind him because this isn't going to last, mind. This isn't going to last. And everybody said it. And then lo and behold, how many games did he last? 12 games or something? Like, shortest serving manager in our history?
You know, it was really, really annoying. Like, there was times where, like, we all said, like, oh, I'd love to play the Mags. You know what I mean? Like, I'd love a crack at the Mags with this team. And then we finally get one, and it's like, oh, but we've got Michael Beale in charge. I know.
I work with a massive Mag, like, season ticket holder on that, and he said, you know, in the run-up to that derby, I was absolutely shitting myself, and, like, a few of his Mag mates were, because for Sunderland, it was kind of win-win, you know. If you beat us, it's absolutely embarrassing. It's mortifying to live forever. If Newcastle win, they should be beating the Championship side. But he said, I absolutely couldn't believe how easily you rolled over for us. And we never even got out of first gear, and we absolutely wiped yous off the park. And, you know, of course, you always want to argue for Sunderland against a Mag, but I thought there is no argument here because we did roll over, and that's been one of the big slaps in the face this season. We let the Mags come into our house, like, decorate us, like, give them a massive allocation of tickets. We had frigging the bloody Saudi consulate sitting in our ground and that, and, like, and we rolled over and had our bellies tickled by them despicable Saudi-backed money-grabbing hypocritical fuckers up the road, and like we let that happen in our own ground, and like that in the team photo afterwards and that, I'll never ever forget. Like, that's a massive black mark on Dreyfus's record. Like, and as for Michael Beale,
I remember like just being around the town, and I think we all, like, as fans try to do our best and try to, like, be positive and get up for it, but it just felt flat, didn't it? Like, the game was, because of everything that had gone on in the run-up, I think the game was already kind of lost. I know that sounds really confusing, but it was like lost before a ball was kicked.
Because we were in Gatsby's at like 10 past 8 drinking Desperados, really. And part of us was thinking, come on, we're up for this. And I think within like minute one, I was like, oh, bollocks, this isn't this. We're gonna lose today. Like,
I just remember the game kicked off, and I think like Anthony Gordon made like one run down the wing, and I was just like, Bye, these are quick, aren't
they? Yeah, we, can, we can't cope with these boys.
Oh, no, we've got 90 minutes
we've built a ballard to be like, you know, he's going to go out to the Premier League. He's shit on. He got made to look like a junior schoolboy.
against Bruno. Wait till you see what Jack Black's going to do to your England national fullback. Wait till you see what Jack Black's going to do.
Exactly. And Trippier didn't have any bother all day. But that was the golfing quality. Anyway, enough about.
That was the problem with Sunderland at the time. What puts it in perspective is who did they get in the couple of rounds later? It was a Blackburn. And
yeah, Blackburn exactly. Yeah,
was
yeah.
So unlucky to lose to their mind. They absolutely battered them.
And that's because we didn't go for it, because we didn't show any intent, really. It was Michael Beale trying to, again, preserve his reputation, not get embarrassed, blah, blah, blah. Like, the mags walked all over us. But you never know, if we did go for it, we might have got beat 5-3 or something, you know what I mean? But at least we'd have had something to shout and scream about, and at least we would have given account of ourselves rather than just, how are we getting onto the derby?
I'll tell you why, because you've been drinking wine.
I do apologize to any listeners out there. I have been drinking wine, and I think that's why I'm emotional. You know, I get passionate, like, because I want so much Sunderland to do well. I want so much Sunderland to compete and be good, and I want to enjoy supporting them more than anything. But at the minute, like, going to games and that, you just think, oh, here we go. Like, I can't be one bit arsed. I've got better things to do with me Saturday than sit and watch this.
Yeah, you look at these, like, provincial clubs, which I think we fall into the bracket of, who've had, like, these kind of moments in the sun and, like, these little, like, pockets of success. And it all kind of stems from, like, it's always kind of like a sliding doors moment where something will happen and, you know, they might just get the right manager in at the right time. And you look at it and you think, like, why can't that be us? Like, surely, law of averages, we've got to get it right sooner or later.
What you're talking about there, to be honest, I always think of Leicester, you know, like, for them to have the audacity to just go and walk the Premier League because everything just clicked in place so perfectly for that one moment. Like, how much money would you pay for that to happen to Sunderland? You know what I mean?
I genuinely think, when I was watching the Champions League during the week, I was thinking, I was like, if I saw Sunderland win the Champions League, I genuinely think I would have to just stop watching football, because I'd be like, well, this is the pinnacle. Like, I'm only ever going to be disappointed now, because I'm going to expect us to do this. So every time we don't, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, and what is the point? You could almost retire from being a football fan, couldn't you? If that happened. Like, I always said, you know, like, let's say you put your accumulator on and 1 week you win 180 grand. Like, you just wouldn't gamble again. What's the point? I mean, you say that, obviously, but, like...
I put 180 grand on the Sunder accumulator, mate. On
a 10-team accumulator.
You just wins, Dan.
But, like, yeah, I know what you're saying. And I think, you know, you look at the Reedy years, the Roy Keane era, like, even when you look at, like, the Steve Bruce time where we're sitting 11th, 12th in the Premier League and you've got the side like Jan, Bent, Bolo, Zenden, and Henderson, you look and you think, oh, you know, like, how far away we are from that. And I know it's natural progression and things happen, etc., but by God, there's some gulf between us then and us now, isn't there?
I mean, look, it can change. It just takes like two or three decisions to go in our favour, and that will obviously start in the summer, depending on who we get in as the manager.
It'll be Heckenbottom, like, that's,
you reckon?
Yeah, I think it'll be Heckenbottom, like, he's a safe pair of hands in the Championship, and that's what they're after now, really.
Well, I'll tell you what I have seen. I've seen a lot of, because I still want Will Still, and I'm sure if Mark was here, he'd be like banging his fists and screaming for Steve Cooper.
Yeah, but, like a gorilla that's been injected with testosterone, just like headbutting the glass, asking for Steve Cooper.
Yeah, pretty much. But I would still like the Will Still appointment to come off, just because it's something different. Do you know what I mean? I think it'll give us a bit of, it's just a bit interesting, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I know, like, you said, like, you can't gamble, but, and it is somewhat of a gamble because he's never done it in this country. But, like,
you've got to, haven't you?
It'll be like the Roy Keane thing. It'll be like, oh, like, suddenly brave there. They've taken a gamble.
Yeah. To be fair, right, if Will Still had been put in charge, like, let's say Dodds had two games in charge, interim again, and then you put Will Still in charge, everybody would be buzzing going to the matches on a Saturday now, because you'd be seeing different styles of football and you'd be starting to analyse what Will Still's capable of with this current team, and then, oh, what's he going to do in the summer? Who are they going to bring? You know, it'll be exciting. So I'm not averse to having a gamble. Like, I think appointing Will Still would certainly be that, but it'd be a bit of a statement as well, because he's one of those, like, football Twitter everybody knows who he is because the Reams having to pay like a fine because of his coaching license or something. But yeah. I also read on Twitter somebody say, what I don't like about Will Still is he posts on Instagram things like 12-year-old girls would post, where he like a photo of himself looking all brooding and mysterious, looking into the distance, and like what will be written underneath it. Like, yeah. all right, William, you're not like 13-year-old, are we? Come on.
I don't know. I can't wait for his post match interviews next season, and it's just like him reciting like Paramore lyrics. Like,
yeah, I don't know. It's a funny one. What do you think of the FA Cup scrapping the replays? Do you think it's a disgrace? Because I do. Like,
yeah, I'm a lot more upset about it than I probably should be. Again, getting back to Sunderland, it's kind of annoyed us how we haven't made a statement yet.
I agree.
There's a lot of division, and what I've found is, Borough is one of the clubs that's made a statement, and they're higher than us in the league, and the way things are, you'd expect them to get the Premier League before us. But like, I think there's very much a kind of people who see themselves as being on the cusp of like joining that Premier League gravy train.
Who don't want it, exactly.
Speak out against it, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, you're right.
What we're doing, to be
I think you are bang on there. No, I completely agree with you. I think fundamentally, Sunderland probably fancy themselves to get in the Premier League in the next few years, and they don't want to upset, like, you know, you don't want to upset the bloke who's handing out the cakes, do you? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, but for me as a fan personally, I would like to see Sunderland come out and say, look, that's not on. Like, a lot of lower league clubs depend on these. And, you know, the argument has been, well, you know, the likes of Pep Guardiola and Arteta have said, well, it's a lot of strain on the players playing these extra games, blah, blah, blah. You might play, what, 2, maximum 3 replays, but you're not bothered about flying your squads out to Melbourne for like a pre-season tour and that, like 3 days after the season's ended, you go for these friendlies, exhibition games in America and that. You don't care then, like how he you get off your foot and eye, or it's like, it's a joke. We all know it's a joke.
It's all money related, isn't it? I would like it where if a lower league team drew with a Premier League team, like, the lower league team goes through automatically, but you can't have that. You can't
force that. I think what was suggested on Twitter was, like, all the teams would boycott us. You're not going to get like 530 teams boycott the FA Cup, but what you could potentially get is all of those teams sign a petition to say, right, well, all the under 21 sides in the Premier League aren't competing in it then. If that's how it's going to be, like, the Premier League sides aren't going to do replays, then we're not going to allow your youngsters to come up against like decent competition in a Championship / League One side or something. Yeah. And I think that would be like a decent punishment.
Yeah, and I get this. The flex, they do have a flex over us, like the big six, as they call. Like, they do have a bit of a flex over us because, like, yes, there's 92 teams in the Football League, but there's no question about it that like the world is interested in those six more than anybody else. So if we did lose them, then yeah, the game money-wise would suffer. But I was saying, coming out the ground today, I was like, I'd rather that just happened. I'd rather we kind of hit a bit of a reset button with football and just let everybody, you know, crack on and just start again, like on more of a level playing field. I know it'll never happen, but to me...
Well, you say that, Ant, but, you know, that European Super League doesn't look like a bad idea now. Like your Manchester Cities, your Tottenhams, your Man United, right? Piss off, go and play in front of your football Twitter virgins in the Bernabeu every other week. You crack on, and then the rest of the English Football League teams will have a team that's built with integrity and genuine competition, rather than like state-backed football clubs who just buy success. Like, you know, I would much prefer that, to be honest. I'd love to see the likes of Aston Villa winning the league, or Sunderland getting into like a top six spot in the Premier League eventually, because there's no, like, you know, Arsenal or Chelsea to knock you out with a running, because they've just got the mega bucks behind them already and the hoard and like star quality youth players and that. It would be nice to see, to be honest.
You know, there's all this talk about the Super League as well. Like, it probably does look interesting on paper. You can only watch Man City play Real Madrid so many times before
exactly.
And that's exactly what will happen. You're going to have the same. I know they say there's a route in for other teams, but there's not really, is there? It's going to be the same union as the teams, just fucking doing the same stuff every year.
Of course. You know, as much as I detest Newcastle, like, they have got a right to complain, like, because they're under these strict financial fair play restrictions. Like, they can't spend the money unless they're, like, the make the generate funds, etc. But there's Manchester City sitting with 115 charges on financial fair play and haven't faced any punishment, but Everton and Forest are quick to have points deducted because they've spent like 6 million over the top. You know what I mean? It's farcical, like it is farcical.
Mine, I am, to be honest, I don't know whether it's just because I inherently don't like Newcastle or the fans, but like I'm very skeptical about them presenting themselves as like, oh, we just want what's best for the league. Like, no, you acknowledge that you have, you know, wealth beyond everybody else, and you're not trying to create a system that's fair. You're trying to create a system that will put you ahead of everybody else. You just want to become what you're saying you're so dead against.
Exactly. I think these people, as in Newcastle fans, are the last people we should trust to be bastions of morality, because they spent years chanting at Mike Ashley's shops because he wasn't fit to own Newcastle because he uses 0-hour contracts, blah, 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 blah. But then they're more than happy to have people own Newcastle United who chuck homosexual people off buildings. You know, like that's the mark of Newcastle fans' mind, and let's never, ever, ever forget that.
Yeah, there was all the crack about, oh, it'd be good for the region. Like, you do not about Sunderland.
Come on.
Like,
you know, I'd have more Sunderland
at every single opportunity you get. You don't care about this. It's all about you getting what you want. Don't bring us into your fucking ridiculous game.
I mean, the get on about, like, oh, a takeover would be good for the region. You know, I'd have more respect if you came out and said, I couldn't give a shit about Sunderland. I just want the Saudi blood money because I want to see Newcastle win trophies. Like, I would have more respect if you just said that.
All right, fair enough, lads. Yeah, crack on. That would have been my response,
But, you know, hey-ho. Anthony, is there anything else we should talk about before we can get out of here? Because I want to drink more wine and I'm pretty upset about Sunderland. So is there anything else you want to subject us to before we head out to Sensible Sunderland Towers?
On a positive, so a lot of those white Hummel tracksuit tops doing that.
Bonnie Arnie, Bonnie.
They look lovely. They look lovely then. Mm-hmm.
I was a bit disappointed that they've done like the limited release though.
Yeah, well, I managed to get one. But like,
all right, good for you. I'll
sell you it for £5,000.
Exactly.
But yeah, obviously we're with, is it Fanatics now who do like the retail side for the club?
Yeah.
I noticed that they said last Monday they were going to go on sale at 10 o'clock on the club website. But then Fanatics, nobody must have told them, because Fanatics just started selling them at like 9 o'clock in the morning. So you had obviously everyone piling on there. So I think there was loads of people who've actually missed out now or had like orders cancelled because there's just been
standard
miscommunication between the club and the site.
The club haven't getting like that side of things right. I mean, going back to the Derby, the tickets were on sale at 10, then they were on sale at 2. People are getting closed limb from the SAFC store with like Nottingham Forest badges on the tracksuit bottoms, and they email the club to ask why and they don't get a response. You know what I mean? there's a lot of work to do in the summer.
Again, though, even like the tickets for the Derby, they had like one on them.
That's like, marvellous. You know what I mean?
That's where I was like, someone's taking the piss there, because the marks were going to fucking laugh at us. Well, we got League One on the tickets left.
Exactly. Like, it's like a carry on film watching Sunderland, isn't it? Oh, dear me. Look, Anthony, I'm done for tonight. It's been thoroughly miserable, so thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. You know, again, we've had a lot of support and the podcast's going really well. So thank you. We hope that we bring some joy to you, or even when Sunderland don't. Do leave us a review on the App Store or Spotify, wherever you listen to us, please. That would be like, seriously, that would be like a massive help. So please do that. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. So give the pages a like, because it always helps. It adds a little bit of credibility when people are listening to you, when they see a few numbers behind your page. So that would be most appreciated. And take care. You know, we've got a couple more games to go against Watford and Sheffield. Might have something positive to talk about. There might be a few more manager rumblings. Even the odd rumbling of a signing might start to trickle in now, because we are heading towards an open transfer window. And let's see where we are. Things can only get better, surely.
Two more games. We can do this. Come on.
Take care, everyone. We'll see you next time round after the Watford game.
In a bit, everyone. Bye.